Church.
Presta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on 990 WDEO.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO. Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Noon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
Yeah, people wonder a lot about the new evangelization.
You're re-evangelizing the de-Christianized.
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
The vast number of Catholics have been sacramentalized but not evangelized.
I'm talking about God, the devil, hell, heaven!
To be Catholic is to evangelize.
He's absolutely right.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
Al, it's always a joy to be with you.
What is your quest?
Build the church, bless the nation.
We are go for launch.
10, 9.
I just want to tell you both, good luck. We're all counting on you.
Let's do this.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Glad to be with you as we kick off another week here. Yes, it is the place where we talk about the things that matter most because we're living in a society that is growing in increasing superficiality. More and more of its entertainments are becoming, you know, ephemeral. It's amazing. But what Christians used to prize, and what many Americans were, of course, Christians for many years, but there was a certain respect for deeper things, the meaning of life. I mean, classical music. Now, I like pop music too, and I like cartoons, and I like movies, and so I'm not against those kind of things. But I've noticed that when I was growing up, it was always thought that you could enjoy all that pop stuff, but it was always thought that as you matured, you would learn how to enjoy other types of music, other types of art, other types of reading. And it wasn't a snobby thing. It was just like you would kind of grow up intellectually and grow up aesthetically. One thing I noticed today is that expectation is gone, and that many young men and women don't have anybody who says to them, hey, if you like that, you're really going to love Beethoven, or if you like that, you're really going to love Shakespeare, and help to build the bridge to these things. Because there's just simply no doubt about it. If you don't like Shakespeare, it's because you don't know how to read Shakespeare. If you don't like the Ninth Symphony of Beethoven, it's because really you haven't learned why it's considered one of the great masterworks of Western civilization. Nothing wrong with not knowing. What's wrong is despising those works of art and literature, which for centuries have been thought to be some of the greatest productions of human genius. You know, it's that way with theology, too, and spirituality. We now have a culture in which it's like me and Jesus, you know. It's just between me and Jesus, and I can walk with him out on the golf course. And yes, you can, that's right. But as you grow spiritually, you're supposed to be understanding the church that he instituted, the doctrines that he taught, supposed to go into it deeper. That's one of the reasons we do this program, because we think that there is a way to walk from pop culture into a deeper culture. Today, we pick up on what's been very big in the pop world, Bruce Jenner and the transgender debate. Remarkable how this story is developing. I have a few comments on it. And then also, we're going to be taking a look at the Supreme Court's moral arguments and what consequences same-sex so-called marriage will have on faith-based organizations. Also today, an incredible story. It's the story of Catholic University of America in the 1960s, when a theology professor authored a statement of dissent claiming that he was not bound to follow church teaching on contraception. That's coming up. But first, the news with Nick Tom.
Thank you very much, Al. Welcome, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Monday, May 11th. It is the Feast of St. Ignatius of Laconi, and today's news is sponsored in part by the Ave Maria Family of Funds at AveMariaFunds.com. The president of Cuba says he might be going back to church. Raul Castro told reporters Sunday he will attend all of the Pope's upcoming masses in Cuba later this year. Castro said he might return to praying and attending church. Castro says he thanked the Pope for working to thaw the relationship between the U.S. and Cuba. The Pope plans to visit Cuba in September before he visits the U.S. White House spokesman Josh Earnest is playing down the lack of high-level participation at this week's Gulf Arab Summit at Camp David. Saudi Arabia's King Salman and three other Persian Gulf leaders have declined to send representatives to the summit. Earnest said the U.S. has received no feedback about any unhappiness with the U.S.-led negotiations to send Iran's nuclear ambitions. The agenda at the Camp David summit also includes ISIS and the growing instability in Yemen and Syria. Earnest said the overall point of the summit is to advance cooperation and security interests in the Persian Gulf region. He expressed confidence that all participants will be able to speak freely on behalf of their countries. Hattiesburg, Mississippi is remembering two police officers who were shot to death Saturday night while making a traffic stop. A memorial service is set for today for officers Benjamin Dean and LaCorey Tate. The mayor, Johnny Dupree, said this morning that many state officials will be in attendance. Officials in Mississippi say four people are being charged in connection with the killings. Marvin Banks and Joni Calloway are each charged with two counts of capital murder, while Curtis Banks has been charged as an accessory to the killings. And American Idol is getting the boot, some might say about 5 years too late. Fox has announced the long-running singing competition show will get a 15th and final season next year. The hit that launched the careers of hitmakers like Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, and Clay Aiken will come to an end after one more star-studded season. Idol has been met with ratings declines in recent years after the popularity of NBC's The Voice. And now your fascinating fact for the day. Hawaii is the only U.S. state to never report a temperature below 0 degrees Fahrenheit. For Ave Maria Radio News, I'm Nick Tom.
And good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Yeah, well, it's world changing, and not for the better. You know, when we say it's a girl, it may not mean what it used to mean. I was looking around at some coverage of the Bruce Jenner interview, and it came across lots of different responses. One of them was from a psychologist, excuse me, a Christian psychologist, I think an evangelical Protestant, who wrestled with this question of transgenderism and asking, she's praying that God will give her great wisdom in how to speak on the issue. And she points out, quite rightly, that this question of the, quote, LGBT lifestyle, they're not going away. It's going to be interesting to see if those four if those four letters are going to remain together as the years go on, and whether in fact they all represent a similar phenomenon. And of course, you may not realize that there are big differences between psychologists and social psychologists regarding the origins of bisexuality and homosexuality. So there's still an academic debate to be fought over. And, of course, as these distortions of God's design for sexuality come into greater clarity, there's more research done. My guess is you're going to see some split here, and L's and G's and B's and T's are going to be found to have different experiences, and maybe different origins. I already think bisexuality and transgenderism are different. There's something else at work there than what you see with most homosexuals. We may end up finding out, too, that there's not one thing called homosexuality. We may find out that there's homosexualities. Already, anybody looking at this at a just common sense level might come to that conclusion, because you've got very serious stories and reports from men and women who claim to have been homosexual. And now they claim they're not. And you have plenty of stories from people who say they were homosexual and acting out, but though they still have same-sex attraction, they aren't acting out anymore. Then you have people who say that they were living the, quote, homosexual lifestyle for a while, and then they just thought it was wrong, and they stopped, and they're doing fine today. Married and with children. I think you're going to find the same thing with transgenders. You're going to have transvestitism, you know. And how does that relate to transgenderism or gender identity disorder? And how does it relate to transsexualism and surgery? So I think as more and more time is spent on this, we're going to find out that you're not going to be able to lump them all together. That lumping them all together is basically a political strategy, because it makes all the groups have a common political goal. So I think that's what we're seeing. But the Bruce Jenner thing is even fascinating, because here's Bruce Jenner, who we're told is transgendered, but he's reluctant to say that he's a girl or a woman. You know, so the question is, how do you make sense of these storylines? How do we respond to parents who allow, like we saw last week, their four-year-old to choose gender? I mean, four-year-olds choosing their gender? I mean, we don't let four-year-olds choose their diets or their even breakfast cereals. We certainly don't let them choose whether they're going to be vaccinated or not. And we certainly don't encourage them to begin sexually experimenting early on so we can decide if they're, quote, straight or gay. And I think this is unbelievable that parents would think that ages 4 or 5 that you can know with certainty whether your child has gender identity disorder or not, or what their gender dysphoria now. They've changed the name. So I'm looking over this story from a Christian psychologist, and she doesn't, I mean, how to make sense, she says, of the Bruce Jenner story. How should we respond to parents who allow their 5-year-old to choose gender? Are Brad and Angelina to be applauded by letting their 8-year-old daughter be called John and dress him like a boy? I mean, these are loving parents who probably don't let that same child choose what to eat for dinner or what time to go to bed. Why would they trust the instincts of a child to decide something as critical as gender? I think, right, this question should be raised. And it should be raised in a straightforward, loving way. I think one of the problems is, it strikes us as so bizarre that instinctually you want to say, hey, what the heck's going on here? But you should give the parents the benefit of the doubt that they do love their child and that they are thinking, and I would argue mistakenly thinking, that this is in the best interest of the child. But I think you have to raise common sense questions. You know, if you're not letting your 4-year-old choose his breakfast cereal, why are you letting him choose his gender? But you remember back in 1999, John Kennedy Jr., John, his wife and his sister-in-law died in a tragic plane crash off the coast of the Atlantic Ocean. The primary cause of the crash was that John was not instrument rated as a pilot. In other words, he didn't have sufficient experience to fly in a storm like that. He made a mistake that novice pilots make. They navigate by their senses because they don't trust their instruments. Instrument-rated pilots have learned to fly by the instrument panel, even if the instruments seem to contradict what they perceive by looking out the window. So the National Transportation Safety Board concluded that John and his wife and sister-in-law died because of his failure to maintain control of the airplane during a descent over water at night. This was he had spatial disorientation. He was trusting his senses, which were confused, and they were not giving him accurate information. The weather obscured his vision. His perception was messed up. He thought he was flying much higher than he was. Now, the instruments are not deceived like that. Clouds, fog-like conditions don't confuse the instruments. Human judgment's confused by these conditions, but not the instruments. So these instruments look at the airspeed and altitude and direction, and they look at the laws of physics rather than human perception. If John had trusted the instrument panel instead of his own very fallible instincts, he may still be alive today. Well, we should keep that in mind when we're looking at this transgender debate and gay marriage debate, and because human beings need a voice, a way of orienting beyond our own experience. I think this is what we sometimes forget, that we're supposed to be instrument-rated disciples. We're getting our cues and our direction from something beyond our own human judgment. God reveals himself to us. He discloses who he is. And when he discloses who he is, he discloses his character, which is his law. So we get a sense of what's right and wrong. We didn't make up what's right and what's wrong. This is disclosed by God himself. That's our instrument panel. So this Christian psychologist was writing that. She was watching this this interview with Bruce Jenner, and there were moments in which she said she felt she had lost her bearings. The story was compelling. It aroused empathy because she knows how difficult it would be for people with gender confusion. And she said, I can't imagine living every day with a sense of not feeling comfortable in my own skin. However, when I'm confused, she says, by what's around or within me, I don't rely upon what I see or feel, but I rely upon the God I worship. And that's how we should be living. We should be living by what the Lord has disclosed about reality, because he knows reality from a different vantage point than we do. We need to be instrument-rated disciples, I think is the best way of putting this, and not rely on our own wisdom.
How do we know if our good intentions are actually doing good? What does it take to restore our nation to a free and virtuous society? Find out at Acton University, June 16th to the 19th, at the Voss Place in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Acton University is a unique four-day conference that explores the intellectual foundations of a free and virtuous society. Guided by a distinguished international faculty, Acton University is an opportunity to deepen your knowledge and integrate business, philosophy, Christian theology, and sound economics. Build your own curriculum. Choose from 121 courses, ranging from theological and philosophical to policy-oriented and practical. Learn from 71 world-class faculty. Meet leading authorities on economics, theology, public policy, business ethics, and other disciplines. Equip yourself to engage culture and better articulate your understanding of the Judeo-Christian view of liberty and morality. Faith. Free market, freedom, all in 4 days. Find out more at university.acton.org.
Creston in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Manresa Jesuit Retreat House in Bloomfield Hills wants to welcome you to the Master's Garden Saturday, May 30th. The Master's Garden offers a day to learn eco-friendly gardening tips, stroll their 39 acres, tour the house, and enjoy their speakers. There'll be entertainment, raffles, and experts available throughout the day to answer your gardening questions. For tickets and info, look for the Master's Garden on their homepage at manresasj.org.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. My wife Janet and I invite you to join us this year on one of our many biblical and Catholic adventures following the footprints of God. There's nothing like the Holy Land where God walked. It is safe and life-changing. And now we have Holy Land Part 2 for those who want to dig deeper. Our Lady of Guadalupe is the patroness of the Americas, and we're going there to celebrate, pray, and explore the beautiful sacred sites in Mexico.
Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link. Today's programming on Ave Maria Radio is made possible in part by our day sponsor. To ask for prayers for those who work in campus ministry, especially the priests serving those parishes, and for Lauren and Brett, who are leaving to minister in Brazil today. St. Francis Xavier, pray for us. You can have your own day on Ave Maria Radio. Call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, I want to be a day sponsor.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. St. Robert Bellarmine Parish in Redford is hosting their Spring Carnival May 14th through the 17th. The whole family will enjoy carnival rides, game tents, favorite fair food, and much more. For more information, call 313-657-1260. Lace up your running shoes for the AAA Pregnancy Center's Race for Life, Saturday, May 16th in Hines Park. There is a 5K run-walk, a 10K run, and a mile walk along scenic Hines Drive in Westland. AAA Pregnancy Center has been supporting women for over 40 years. To register, call 734-335-0338. You can find many more events and enter your own events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
I'm Al Cresta. Here's a fun story. I mean, this is, I would say, remain open to this. I'd rather believe this story than be cynical about it. I could find reasons to be cynical about it and skeptical, but I'm not. I'm going to take it at face value. Pope Francis met with Raul Castro, who's now president of Cuba. This is Fidel's brother. They met together yesterday, 4 months before the Pope is coming to the Caribbean. He's coming at the same time he comes to the United States. Castro is 83 years old now. Pope Francis, 78 years old. They met for almost an hour. And it was a very cordial meeting, according to the Holy See Press Office. The Pope met with other Cuban officials, too, including the foreign minister and deputy prime minister. But it's really Raul Castro that I'm interested in. And let me tell you why I'm interested in it. Because the Pope, because Castro, Raul Castro now, praised the Pope for his wisdom and his modesty and many other qualities. He said, quote, I read all the speeches of the Pope. If the Pope continues to speak like this, sooner or later, I will start praying again, and I will return to the Catholic Church. And I'm not saying this jokingly. Now, this is interesting to me because, like I said, Raul's 83 years old now. Cuba is about 60% Catholic. It's been run as a communist nation since 1959, I think. And St. John Paul II, Pope Benedict XVI, also made apostolic journeys to Cuba. So now Pope Francis is going to visit there as well. And a lot of people are being cynical about this. I think this is where love hopes all things and believes all things, right? And I think there's reason to believe that maybe there's some spiritual movement here. Let me give you a little bit of the history on this. The Castros were baptized and raised as Catholics. Fidel, in particular, has been very vocal about this. In Oliver Stone's documentary, Comandante, Raul said how, excuse me, Fidel said that he had never been a believer and that he was totally convinced there was only one life and it ended at death. And in fact, John the 23rd excommunicated Fidel. 1962. Why? Because Fidel Castro suppressed Catholic institutions in Cuba. You know, he's also made comments about the Bible and how it's an oppressive document. But listen to this. The Washington Post reported on Castro's letters from prison. These were documents that were published in Spanish, and they didn't really make the rounds in English. But this particular letter from prison goes back again to the 1950s. This letter addresses the father of a fallen comrade, and he writes, listen to the quote. This is Fidel Castro. I will not speak of him as if he were absent. He has not been, and he will never be. These are not mere words of consolation. Only those of us who feel it truly and permanently in the depths of our souls can comprehend this. Physical life is ephemeral. It passes inexorably. This truth should be taught to every human being, that the eternal, that the immortal values of the spirit are above physical life. What sense does life have without these values? What then is it to live? Those who understand this and generously sacrifice their physical life for the sake of good and justice, how can they die? God himself is the supreme idea of goodness and justice. Now, this is Fidel Castro a long, long time ago. But as I said, he was baptized and raised Catholic. And you kind of wonder, well, he's lived out his life. He's lived out his life pretending to be an ongoing revolutionary, although he's lived more like a monarch. In 1992, though, something started happening. He began to loosen restrictions on religion in Cuba. He even let church-going Catholics join the Communist Party of Cuba. That's not a great reward, but I'm saying before that time, Catholics could not join at all. And he did not call Cuba atheist. He called it secular, and that is significant. And then John Paul II visited there in 1998, and that was the first visit by a reigning pope. Castro and the pope showed up together side by side. Fidel dressed in a dark blue business suit. He wasn't wearing those, you know, overplayed fatigues. And treated the pope with respect. And then in December of 1998, Castro reinstated Christmas Day. It became an official celebration for the first time since the Communist Party abolished it way back in 1969. So Cubans could, you know, have Christmas as a holiday now, and religious processions were permitted. The pope sent a telegram to Castro at that time thanking him for restoring Christmas. And then Castro even attended a Roman Catholic convent blessing in 2003. He also had dealings with the Orthodox Christians as well. But then John Paul II dies in 2005. And Castro actually attended a mass in his honor in the Havana Cathedral. He signed the condolence book, which was at the Vatican Embassy. The last time he visited that cathedral was 1959, 46 years before. And that's when he was attending a wedding for one of his sisters. Now, Cardinal Emil Lucas Ortega y Alamino led the mass, and he welcomed Castro, who was dressed in a black suit, in expressing his gratitude for the heartfelt way to the death of our Holy Father John Paul II. And it said that in attendance he was deeply moved at the funeral of John Paul II. Or, I guess, the memorial mass, that's more like it. He wrote an autobiography in 2009, and he said that Christianity exhibited a group of very humane precepts, which gave the world ethical values and a sense of social justice. What's that tell you? It tells me that Castro recognizes the world's debt to the Catholic Church. I'll say it again. He said Christianity exhibited a group of very humane precepts which gave the world ethical values and a sense of social justice. And then he said, if people call me Christian, not from the standpoint of religion, but from the standpoint of social vision, I declare that I am a Christian. So, in his mind, Christianity has social utility. It's not necessarily true. Still, now you have his brother. Now you have his brother meeting with Pope Francis and saying that he reads all the speeches of the Pope. If the Pope continues to speak like this, I will start praying again. Now, if you think Christianity is only good for social utility, you know, that it motivates people to do good things, that it helps people hold together and cohere as a society, you don't pray. You know, if it's just social utility that you want out of Christianity, you don't pray. You pray because you think somebody's listening. You pray because you know you're not alone in the universe. So I think the inclusion, Raul's inclusion here of I will start praying again, and then I will return to the Catholic Church, and then stressing he wasn't joking, why shouldn't I accept that at face value? Don't you believe in conversion? I do. I believe the Holy Spirit has been at work in the world, convicting it of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and that the Spirit has been doing that since given by Jesus on Pentecost. The world is different because of the coming of the Son of God and because of the giving of the Holy Spirit. You can have people resist God all their entire life. In fact, later this week, we're going to talk about deathbed conversions. Karen Edmiston has written a wonderful book on this. She's going to be joining us later this week in Nebraska. So keep this in mind. Pray. I mean, this would be remarkable. I'm not saying telling you to go bet on this, right? I'm not telling you to go bet. Keep your money in your kid's college fund. This is not what you bet on. But I do think there's enough spiritual kindling in the life of these two brothers that if sovereignly God decides to have lightning strike, there's enough kindling there to catch fire. And again, that would go back to the work that faithful Catholic teachers did way back in the 1950s, 40s and 50s. You know, these letters from prison, by the way, that Fidel Castro wrote, this was back in 1959, and there's 21 letters that addresses his inner circle, and the letters have not appeared in English until the last 8 years. And then no further copies were printed in Havana either after 1960. But it's the only unofficial writing that Castro ever did. And so because of that, the letters have become kind of a Rosetta Stone for understanding and interpreting the inner meaning or the inner heart of Fidel Castro. Anyways, it's in those letters that we get this reference to God as the supreme idea of goodness and justice. All this to say, Pope Francis is continuing the work of Benedict XVI and St. John Paul II. And maybe, just maybe, we'll see some remarkable conversions among Cuba's leaders. You can be cynical and tell me I'm crazy. Or you can believe St. Paul when he writes, love believes all things and hopes all things.
Are you tired of the way your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
On our next Christ is the Answer program, Father Ricardo talks to a large group of men about our society and the culture that surrounds us and dilutes our commitment to our Lord and His Church. His title, What Our Country Needs from Catholic Men. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 8, and Sunday mornings at 11 on Ave Maria Radio at AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Manresa Jesuit Retreat House in Bloomfield Hills wants to welcome you to the Master's Garden Saturday, May 30th. The Master's Garden offers a day to learn eco-friendly gardening tips, stroll their 39 acres, tour the house, and enjoy their speakers. There'll be entertainment, raffles, and experts available throughout the day to answer your gardening questions. For tickets and info, look for the Master's Garden on their homepage at manresasj.org.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
Jesus told us that we must forgive 70 times 7, but what does forgiveness require us to do? St. Augustine said that forgiving someone means surrendering our natural desire for revenge. In other words, when you stop wanting a bus to run over the person who hurt you, you've pretty much forgiven them. Forgiveness, giving up the desire to hurt someone for having hurt you, is a gift we give ourselves, and we can extend it whether or not the other person has asked for it or deserves it. Reconciliation, though, is a different matter. If forgiveness can be accomplished alone, reconciliation requires two people to, again, as Augustine put it, experience the tranquility that results from right order. It's possible to forgive someone but still not be reconciled to them if the injury they caused still exists or they're unsafe to be around. Forgiveness can be hard, but it may not be as hard as you think. I'm Dr. Greg Popchuk, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Talking about Pope Francis and his conversation with Raul Castro. Raul Castro claiming that the Pope thinking, writing, is so moving him that he may begin praying again and returning to the Catholic Church. Pope Francis has been received by Rolling Stone magazine, the leading gay journal of opinion, The Advocate. He's been getting kudos since he was elected. And a lot of people to the left, politically and theologically, have been hoping that he would be the great reformer. And by that, they meant that he would get around to advancing the ordination of women, that he would weaken on sexual morality, that he would be more interested in leftist political and economic reforms. And of course, this has all been nonsense, with the exception of the last one. He certainly can be read to sound as though he's weighing in on modern economic and political debates. I don't think he is. I think he's trying to get at the moral foundations for the debates, and he's trying to uphold a certain vision of the kingdom on earth. But set that aside, because that's not really where I want to go. We've talked about this many times, how the press, the mainstream press, has completely distorted the thinking of Pope Francis. It's been a case of wish fulfillment, if I've ever seen one. And the question was always, how soon will they finally get to know who he is? I mean, he's a Catholic pope, by the way. He's not a reformer in the sense of somebody coming in to undo what previous popes had done. He's not a reformer in that sense. He's not reforming doctrine. He made that clear from the beginning. It is true that he has spoken with sometimes great lack of clarity, and his words have been easily misunderstood or misconstrued. But for people who understand the faith, I don't think it's been that difficult to know what his intention was. He wants to be a little cryptic. This is, he thinks Jesus spoke cryptically to ignorant people, and he thinks that Jesus spoke harshly with arrogant people, and he believes that he's mostly dealing with ignorant people. So he speaks openly, cryptically, compassionately. He wants to get along with people. Well, Pope Francis is not a liberal reformer, and I'm glad to say, finally, this is being written about regularly. Huffington Post has a piece by Dennis Earle saying it's been quite the honeymoon. Not too long after Pope Francis succeeded Benedict XVI in March 2013 to become the new head of the Vatican, reporters, pundits, and even comedians began to sing his praises. Why? Because he said things like, "I'm a sinner," and "If a person is gay and seeks God and has goodwill, who am I to judge?" And "The Lord has redeemed all of us with the blood of Christ, all of us, not just Catholics, everyone, even the atheists, everyone." Now, remember, those are the phrases that served as markers for these liberal reformers. And they thought, you can look at each of these statements, of course, and see the Pope saying, "I'm a sinner," is not news. Since John Paul II went to confession every week. And then when he says, "If a person is gay and seeks God and has goodwill, who am I to judge?" Obviously, he's talking about somebody who's seeking God and is open to God's will. That's what it means to have goodwill. And he may be struggling with same-sex attraction. So who am I to judge there? I'm not, he isn't judging. He's assuming that the person is struggling with same-sex attraction, but he's seeking God and he's trying to learn God's will. So good. Who am I to judge? And then, of course, the Lord has redeemed all of us with the blood of Christ, all of us, not just Catholics, everyone, even the atheists, everyone. Well, indeed, Jesus died for the sins of the world. Jesus died for all. including atheists. Now, that's redemption. He's made redemption possible for everyone. His redemption is sufficient for the whole world, everyone. But it's only efficient for those who believe. You can't receive the gift of redemption unless you are open to it. Jesus has redeemed the world. His work is sufficient to bring everybody to heaven. But it can't bring people to heaven who reject his will and his love. So you can't save people without their will. So the redemption is available, but it can't be efficient. It can't produce salvation for individuals if those individuals resist it. There's nothing here which should even give serious Catholics a pause for concern. Well, this guy's finally waking up to it. This is Dennis Earle. And he says, as the old saying goes, talk is cheap. Pope Francis can present himself as a more compassionate pontiff all he wants. With over 40 years' experience working within stubbornly conservative Catholic Church, the 78-year-old is no liberal. The reality is he is quite content maintaining the status quo. Guess what, guys? He never claimed to be on your side. He claimed to be open to hearing you. He wanted the words of Jesus to win you over. But he wasn't pandering to you. He's the Pope, for heaven's sake. He's a Catholic. He knows what the Church teaches. So anyways, this he goes on as though the Holy Father was somehow putting on the dog here. He was deceiving people. Nonsense. Nonsense. And he's angry about it. He's angry about it. Within weeks of the Pope Francis' election, when I began to see what was going on, I kept saying, just give it time. In time, the left is going to turn on him because they're fooling themselves, but they're going to wake up a year or two down the road, and then they're going to be angry and blame him because they can't accept the fact that they're fools when it comes to interpreting what the Catholic Church is about. So what they really wanted was the Catholic Church to say, oh my gosh, we've been wrong for 2,000 years. You guys are really right after all. We're going to become just like you. That's what they wanted, and they were never going to get that. So now they're angry. And Dennis Earle says, okay, let's look at this thing one at a time. Let's start with LGBT stuff, LGBT rights. And then he goes back to an incident in Buenos Aires, in Argentina, where Cardinal Jorge Bergoglio butted heads with the government. 2010, legislators were debating same-sex marriage, legalizing same-sex marriage. And then, sarcastically, this guy says, Mr. Enlightenment had this to say about it. Quote, in the coming weeks, the Argentine people will face a situation whose outcome can seriously harm the family. At stake is the identity and survival of the family, father, mother, and children. At stake are the lives of many children who will be discriminated against in advance and deprived of their human development given by a father and a mother and willed by God. At stake is the total rejection of God's law engraved in our hearts. Let us not be naive. This is not simply a political struggle, but is an attempt to destroy God's plan. It is not just a bill, a mere instrument, but a move of the father of lies, that is, the devil, who seeks to confuse and deceive the children of God. I invoke the Lord to send his spirit on senators who will be voting, that they do not act in error or out of expediency, but according to what the natural law and the law of God shows them. We remember what God said to his people in a moment of great anguish. This war is not yours, but God's. Defend us then in this war of God. So what we've got is Pope Francis being exactly who he was when he was Cardinal Bergoglio. He opposed same-sex so-called marriage. He thought it was a work of the father of lies. So this fellow then goes on to say, Bergoglio's ignorant, paranoid comments fell on deaf ears. Argentina became the first Latin American country to officially recognize same-sex marriages that same year. And then he goes on to say the obvious, that Pope Francis, since becoming Pope Francis, hasn't changed his position. So, okay, no surprise there. And then we've got, here's another one. This one deals with gender theory. And Bergoglio said in an impromptu speech on a plane in front of journalists, he told of an education minister he once knew who was offered loans to build schools for the poor, but on condition that their library stocked the book on gender theory, the questioning of traditional male and female roles. And then he said, this is ideological colonization. They colonize people with ideas that try to change mentalities or structures. But this is not new. This was done by dictatorships of the last century. You know, it goes on. You can just, you know, he supported a bill in Slovakia that banned gay marriage. He has been anti-contraception. Anti-abortion. None of that should have surprised these guys. But human beings like to think that the Catholic Church agrees with them. The Catholic Church is still the world's most significant spiritual institution. It carries enormous moral authority. Enormous moral authority. And so people who want to change the world would love to think that the Catholic Church is catching up with them. And that's what they thought about Pope Francis. Oh, there's another big change happening, I think, on the political left. Not only are they realizing Pope Francis is not their boy, but they're now figuring out that they've had Islam all wrong. Here's a wonderful story where you see Bill Maher and Pam Geller and some of the new atheists coming together to say what we've said all along, and that is that at root, Islam is a violent religion, that the example of Muhammad and the clear commands in the Quran and the Hadith require that they wage war against the kafir, the infidel. It's just part of what the religion poses as. It is what it's about. Now, it doesn't mean that every Muslim will do that. You know, there are other interests that Muslims have, too. They sometimes want to live peacefully and don't want to live out those commandments. But going back, people do see that what ISIS is doing, well, not all Muslims will do it. What ISIS is doing, it can be clearly justified on the teaching of the Quran and the Hadith and the life example of Muhammad. So that's another area in which the left is finally trying to get it right. They're getting Pope Francis right. They're now getting Islam right. And in both cases, they were wrong.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Hi, I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews, when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
This Ave Maria Radio program is brought to you in part by St. Gregory Retreat Centers, the new standard for recovery. St. Gregory Retreat Centers offers substance abuse treatment options using traditional Catholic teaching about virtue and access to daily Mass and reconciliation, combined with the latest evidence-based practices in substance abuse.
More information is available at 888-778-5833 or online at stgregoryctr.com.
Crescent in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. Coming up in the next hour, Father Peter Mitchell will be joining us. He's a parish priest in the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin. And he has spent much of his priesthood working in Catholic education. He's written a book that Ignatius just published called The Coup at Catholic University, The 1968 Revolution in American Catholic Education. Many people believe that it was the release of Humanae Vitae and the terrible response of American Catholic theologians and around the world, a number of bishops too, that gave us a culture of dissent within the Catholic Church. Now, what I love about Father Mitchell's work here is that he looks at a particular case, the case of Father Charles Curran. This one incident is representative. This is the rock that was thrown into the pond. All the ripples come out from this one. So we're going to talk about that. What went wrong? What went wrong after the Second Vatican Council in American Catholicism? I'll have a number of comments I'll make on it, but Father Peter Mitchell will look at what happened at Catholic University in 1968. Great story.
This hour of Cresta in the Afternoon is co-produced by Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Today's programming on Ave Maria Radio is made possible in part by our day sponsor. To ask for prayers for those who work in campus ministry, especially the priests serving those parishes, and for Lauren and Brett, who are leaving to minister in Brazil today. St. Francis Xavier, pray for us. You can have your own day on Ave Maria Radio. Call toll-free 1-877-288-1077 and say, "I want to be a day sponsor."
St. Thomas Church in Ann Arbor just observed the 40th anniversary of Humanae Vitae with a talk by Dr. Janet Smith.
The other day, Al Cresta on the radio asked me, he said, what was it about the times that made people so resistant to Humanae Vitae? But let's review for ourselves and maybe introduce some others to what was going on. Of course, Vatican II had happened earlier, and it opened the windows of the church to the modern world. And